So if you have your Bible, of those of you online, we invite you to join us too if you're able to. And I invite you to just join me as we make our confession together, words on the screen of our confidence in God and His Spirit to speak to us today through His living word. All right? So are you ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me make you aware of one opportunity before we read these verses here, because last Sunday evening, a few of us joined together online, and we came up with basically a plan to meet together on Wednesdays at 7. And so for all of you who are here, the information is in your bulletin. This is a different meeting ID than what we had last week. This one will be good for January and February. I was able to go ahead and set up all the meetings through the next 2 months. So the information is in your bulletin. You just need to put in the meeting ID and the passcode. And for those of you who are joining online, if you email me, I'll pass that information on to you. And you can email me anytime. Just go to our website, CLM Family. It's CLMFAMILY.org. And if you will, there's a link there. It just says email me. I check those. I try to catch those every morning. All you need to do is just email me and say, hey, send me the information. I want to join Wednesday at 7 on the Zoom meeting. So wherever we are, we can join online. There's even a telephone option. So I just want to thank God for that opportunity. And Lord willing, we'll be able to have some groups together meeting in people's homes. But for right now, we'll do this online. So if you want to join us, we want to make you aware of that opportunity. All right, John chapter 8. Today's message is how to live, really. And this isn't the title, but we all know, and I believe many non-Christians would say this, we live in a world that is darkened by sin and evil. We live in a world that is darkened by sin and evil. And in this world, though, we read these words, if you want to write them down or just write the scripture reference down, it's found in the book of Psalms 27 and verse 1. Psalms 27 and verse 1, this man David writes, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" So even though we live in a world of darkness, so to speak, with sin and evil, yet if we know the Lord, we can say, "The Lord is my light." And if you see the reference there on the screen, whenever the word Lord has all capital letters, capital L-O-R-D, there's a specific name that is used. Sometimes it's just a capital L, lowercase O-R-D. God reveals himself by different names. But this name is what he told Moses in Exodus 3:14. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, God called Moses to lead his people out of slavery. And Moses asked God, "Well, when I go to the children of Israel and I say, God told me to lead y'all out of here," and they ask me, "What's his name? What am I going to tell them?" And so the Bible says, this is how God answered. And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, this is how you'll answer. "Say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you." So in that psalm, when it says, "The Lord is my light," David is saying, "I am is my light." The great I am. That is a Hebrew verb that just means to be. It's to be. He just is. He's the only self-existing, timeless, and unchangeable one. He is the only self-existing. No one and no thing else has self-existence. He created us and everything, visible and invisible, but he is self-existing, he is timeless, and he is unchangeable. See, when you're perfect, you don't need to change. You don't need to grow. We're not there, but he is. Then John chapter 8 and verse 12, just so you have that background, John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus is speaking, and he says these words, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. I am the light." Jesus made seven of these I am statements, we call them, where he links himself to a familiar image where the people would be familiar and people God used for himself in the Old Testament. So when Jesus said, "I am the light," he is saying, when David said, "I am is my light," he was writing about me. That's why he was so controversial. Was he divine or was he human or was he somehow both? And so Jesus uses these I am statements to reveal his power, his nature, and his relationship to us. When he says, "I am the light of the world," he's revealing his nature, his power, and his relationship to us. Last week, the message was, "The Lord is my strength." And we looked at three practical ways of how the Lord strengthens us. So I can say the Lord is my strength and be just as weak as anything, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. There are practical steps we take to be strengthened by the Lord. So if you were here, maybe you heard those. The CDs are out on the table. If you weren't, help yourself on the way out and just take it. But today, the message is, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. And what does that actually mean, though? Because it sounds good. The Lord is my light. But how is it practical? How do we live it out? The Lord is my light. Now, I want to make no mistake here. I want to show you the words of Jesus himself, that he was letting us know, "I am the light." When he says, "I am," he's linking himself to the great I am in the Old Testament. In other words, it was his voice coming out, speaking to Moses as well as the Son of God who was eternal. So Jesus says this. Let's continue in John chapter 8, if you look at verse 23. John 8, 23, Jesus is still speaking, and he said to them, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I'm not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am," and I'm going to step out here and look at this screen a moment. Okay, the screen, the words there don't bring it out. If you have a King James or New King James Bible, maybe some other translations, the word "he" is in italics. That means it's not in the original language. Jesus simply said, "Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins." See that? You see what he's claiming there? He's letting us know, "I am the Lord." Then he goes on in verse 51. He says this. Verse 51, he's kind of back and forth with these Pharisees, and he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." That's a powerful statement, isn't it? And then they were like, this is what they said to the Son of God. They said, "Now we know you have a demon and you're a Samaritan, because you're making yourself greater than Abraham. Or you think you're greater than Abraham, our father?" And Jesus said, "If Abraham was your father, you would believe me." And this is what he says at the end of this whole discussion. The Bible says this in verse 56. Jesus still speaking. He says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." And they said, see, there, Jesus always throughout John, it was like he was trying to get people to think spiritual, and we were always wanting to think physical, natural. Verse 57, and the Jews said to him, "You're not even 50 years old. You've seen Abraham?" And Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And there was no doubt that he was claiming deity because they wanted to kill him right then by stoning him. And the Bible says he just walked right out of their midst, right out of the temple. So the Lord is my light. Would you say that with me? The Lord is my light. Here is the more of a personal issue. It's not just the world that is darkened by sin. Our hearts are darkened by sin. And we need the light of God to come and give us forgiveness and cleansing and spiritual life. That's why Jesus again said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. There's an emphasis there. There's not more than one light. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So how does the light of God enter us? The Bible says this, again, Jesus speaking. Let me read it to you from John 12:36. John 12:36, Jesus still speaking of the light said, while you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. If we believe in the light, then we become sons and daughters of light. But it has to start with faith in the heart. We believe that Jesus really is who he claimed to be, the sinless, crucified, and risen Son of God, Lord. And when we genuinely believe with our heart, then the light of God forgives and frees us from sin, and he gives us eternal life. Then his Holy Spirit indwells us. He said, believe that you may become. Jesus is the light. Let me ask you this, not for you to answer me, but one day before God, is he your light? In other words, are you a believer and follower of Jesus? Not do you go to church sometimes or you pray a prayer? Are you a believer and follower of Jesus? And if you are, then Jesus says to us, then I've left you here to be my light to the world too. He's the light, but we are lights to this world as his people who follow him. Two truths I'd like to share with this morning before we wrap up are associations with light. Light throughout Scripture is associated with life and truth. Life throughout Scripture, light is associated with life and truth. And I like to think of the life of God as the presence of God. God's presence and God's perspective. That's, oh my goodness, it's so important. Lord, help us. Light is associated with life and truth. The presence of the Lord and the perspective of the Lord. Let me give you a little background here before Jesus made that statement in John chapter 8. Because in John chapter 7, there was the Feast of Tabernacles. It was a week-long celebration and reminder of how God cared for and sustained his people through 40 years in the wilderness, supernaturally. And God revealed himself right in the middle of the camp of the Israelites by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. I think we have a picture here that we might be able to put up on the screen to give you an idea. That's just an artist's rendering. That pillar of fire revealed the glory and presence of God right in the midst of Israel. That just finished. That had just finished in John chapter 7. Then in John chapter 8, we read Jesus standing up saying, I am the light of the world. He was saying, I am the glory and the presence of God right here in your midst. So light is associated with life, the presence of God. That's why, again, the scripture says in John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but what? Walk, but have the light of life. John 1:4, Jesus said, in him, in Christ, was life, and the life was the light of men. I read about a missionary named David Livingstone. I've heard of him years ago in one of the devotions I was reading this week. He was a missionary to Africa. He was a missionary and explorer for 16 years. In those 16 years, his body was racked with 27 fevers. He lost the use of his left arm from the attack of a lion. The lion mauled him. And so after 16 years, he returned home to his native Scotland. And he was speaking, when he spoke to the students at Glasgow University, he asked them this question: "Shall I tell you what sustained me during the hardship and loneliness?" Think about that a moment. Hardship and loneliness. Haven't we all experienced those times? And he says, "Shall I tell you what sustained me during those years and the times of just loneliness, feel like I was alone, and hardships and the trials that I endured?" Here's what he said: "It was the promise of the Lord's presence. I am with you always." And see, the life-sustaining presence of the Lord is with us too, if we know him. Would you say, "The Lord is my light. The Lord is my light." So we have the life-sustaining presence of the Lord with us and within us if we believe and if we're a follower of Jesus. So not only is light associated with the Lord's presence and with the Lord's life, light is associated with truth and the Lord's perspective. Let me give you again just a little context of John 8:12. Right after Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world," I went through and counted just to read through the rest of the chapter there, just that one discussion he had going back and forth with the Pharisees, and Jesus mentioned truth 11 times after he said, "I'm the light." So truth is associated with light. And he says this, and for example, again, that same verse, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Light affects what we see, and it affects our perspective. And what we believe to be true, this is so important, what we believe to be true, whether it's true or not, is how we see everyone and how we see everything. What we believe to be true, whether it's actually true or not, affects everything we see and everyone we see. For example, if I believe that God is out to get me and he's just after me, he's not good, he hasn't done anything good in my life, he hasn't blessed me at all, I've done everything on my own, God hasn't, you know, shown himself at all to me. If I genuinely believe that, it's going to affect how close I am to God. It's going to affect if I'm going to distance myself, if I'm going to, when everything that happens wrong in my life, I'll blame God because I think he's the problem. He's the enemy. And that's why we need the light of God's truth, his word, to give us an accurate perspective and a true perspective so that we live in the light of truth and not by something that is deception. If I believe maybe this person is no good, they'll never amount to anything, if I genuinely believe that, that's going to affect how I relate to them. You see how important that is? If I think I can't overcome this issue, or my life is just filled with troubles, accurate or not, true or not, if we genuinely believe, if I believe that maybe someone is, you know, in school and they're looking for guidance and they just don't believe God can lead them, then they may not seek him. They might not even consider, you know, maybe where I could go to school and still be involved in Christian fellowship. Maybe someone is single and they want to get married one day, but maybe they genuinely believe in their mind and heart that they can't find a good Christian anywhere, so they have to kind of look out and just settle for maybe someone else. Do you see how practical that is? I mean, it can be related to finances, health, anything. What we believe to be true is how we're going to live out. So we need the truth of God's word to keep us aware of God's loving and holy presence within us if we know him. And we need the truth of God's word. We need truth and perspective in order to be aware of our fellowship with the Lord. Would you look at this in John 3? If you just turn back a few pages, maybe John chapter 3. Jesus is still speaking here. And the Bible says this, Jesus speaking in John 3:17. "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Verse 18, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world, And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Brothers and sisters, we cannot hide our sins from God. Just be honest and bring them to the Lord. He doesn't want to hurt us. He wants to help us. Would you excuse my grammar for just a moment? But if God was out to get us, we'd have been got. A long time ago. That's right. He's not out to hurt us. He's out to help us. And I've learned with some wisdom that I need to, even if I'm battling something, to bring it to the light. Don't try to hide it from the Lord. Just be honest. Lord, I hate this person right now. I need to forgive them. I need help. Lord, I'm struggling with this area or that area. I'll give you a quick example. Most of every morning I check email. It seems like I get a bunch of just spam, you know, just little mess and junk. But here, I guess one day this week, you know, there was a line from, it said from a girl's name. No one I know. It just said, these are the photos I told you I was going to send you. It had a link there. So I just, you know, deleted it. And then, I'm, you know, at the house there working in the office, I checked another day, and it was another one came up, same thing. These are the certain type of photos that I told you I was going to send you. Well, you didn't tell me because I didn't ask. And Kim was in the house. Yeah, it said they were, these are the intimate photos. I told you I was a sin. And Kim was in the house. So I said, Kim, will you come here a minute? And so I got her to look at it. Not the pictures, just the email. Because I thought, you know what? I'm not going to hide this. I'm going to bring it to the light. And that way, just not even entertain that notion to even click that link. And that doesn't make me any so super spiritual, I admit. There's probably a time in my life as a young man I'd have clicked. But thank God he's given me grace. And I hope a little wisdom and to grow because we're not to subject ourselves to temptation that way. God is faithful to make a way out. But if we're struggling in an area, it doesn't matter what it is. Let's just bring it to the Lord. He is the light. Again, he's not out to hurt us. He wants to help us, to give us victory, to overcome. That's why in fact, before I read this next scripture reference, David Wilkerson, he ministered to many, I mean multitudes over the years, ministering to those who were broken by just addictions and so forth. And he said that even though his struggle wasn't with like an addiction, like he was ministering to the heroin addicts and so forth in the city there in New York, he said he struggled with pride. He said, especially early on in marriage, you know, he said, I felt sorry for my wife. And just some of the, you know, he could be kind of, he said, I would use the Bible too. They would kind of pull it out of context and use it here and there. And she would say, that's not in the Bible. But this is what he said about overcoming that tendency. He said, every time I try to do it by myself, that is that he to think I'm in control. It's a control issue. When you're struggling with an addiction, I may think, well, I'm okay. I'm still in control here. This doesn't control me. This drug, this whatever, it doesn't control me. The gambling, the pornography, it really doesn't control me. And he said, we've got to just do away with that thought. He said, every time I'm tempted to think that I'm in control, I'm going to back off and by faith. He said, you have to say it by faith. I'm going to back off by faith and say, Jesus, I trust you have the power. You have the willingness. You have the might. You already defeated this devil. Now defeat him practically in my life right now. And that's a key to victory, whatever the struggle and temptation may be. I'm going to back off and say, Jesus, I believe you have the willingness. I believe you have the power. You have the might. You've already defeated this addiction. You've defeated this, whatever it is. I'm going to trust you right now. Defeat this thing in my life right now. It's not my strength, it's his. The Lord is my light. You see how important that is? Would you say it with me? The Lord is my light. He's my life. He's my perspective. He's my truth. His presence is with me, and I need him. Just before Jesus said, the Lord is my light, he was teaching in the temple, and some men brought a woman into their midst. And they said, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Moses in the law said, stone her. What do you say? But their heart wasn't right. If she was caught in the act, where was the man? They just wanted to trick Jesus and set him up. So Jesus didn't even pay attention. He just stooped down and started writing something on the ground. They kept pressing him. He said, okay, whoever's without sin, you go ahead and throw the first stone. And he stooped back down and continued writing on the ground. I don't know what he wrote, but the Bible says from the oldest to the youngest, they were all convicted in their conscience, and they dropped their stones and walked away. Here they are wanting to stone someone else, but isn't it something how maybe sometimes we can be quick to condemn someone else because we're struggling with something in our own heart? You see how important it is we bring it to the light? So the woman is left there, and the Bible says this in John 8, 10, 11. We can put it on the screen. I want to read it from the translation called the Passion Translation. It says, until finally Jesus was left alone with the woman still standing there in front of him. So he stood back up and said to her, dear woman, where are your accusers? Is there no one here to condemn you? And looking around, she replied, I see no one, Lord. Jesus said, then I certainly don't condemn you either. Now, Jesus never condoned or excused sin ever. He still doesn't. But notice what he said. Go, and from now on, be free from a life of sin. You see, he frees us from condemnation so that we can walk in victory. He's not holding our past against us. That's the light of truth coming in. And if I believe truth, then it powers me to walk in victory, to say I'm not chained to my past, and my history does not have to determine my destiny. The Lord is my light. I'll close with this. 1 John, just give you a few scripture references here. Let me read these to you. 1 John, if you want to turn toward the end of your Bible, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. The Word of God says this, 1 John 1, 5. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Notice, do you see how light and truth are linked together there? Yeah, I'm walking in the light, but if I'm not really, then I'm not walking in truth. We're not having fellowship. I love verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses. That means it's continually cleansing us from all sin. So the Lord is my light, that the battle may be long. I'm not saying victory is easy. I'm not saying the struggle is something we just take lightly. I'm simply saying when we're battling and we're struggling and when we do sin, let's be quick to repent and quick to receive the forgiveness and cleansing of the Lord. The price was paid by Jesus at the cross, not by us, but how long we make ourselves feel bad. We receive, quick to repent, quick to receive the cleansing, and that keeps us in close fellowship with the Lord, and his blood keeps us clean, and it's the strength of fellowship with the Lord that helps us have victory in our lives. The Lord is my light. If you want to just write these couple of quick references down, I want to ask you to think about this. Will you seek the Lord's presence and the Lord's perspective? In other words, will you seek his word for how to walk in love? Notice what he says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 John 2, 9 and 10. He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. But he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. So, Lord, how can I, help me to love this person? Help me to, how can I get along? What is my part? We seek the Lord's presence for his power. We seek his perspective and how to live it out. How about seeking the Lord's presence and his perspective on how to overcome fear? We all face fear. We all face anxiety and worries and so forth. But what did David say in that Psalm 27:1? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So that's a very practical way of living it out. And then finally, I'll close with this, Revelation 16. If you want to turn there with me, Revelation 16, last book of the Bible. Lord, I need your help. How do I guide my affairs with discretion? How do I guide my relationships? How do I guide the situation at work? How can I handle my finances with wisdom and grace? How do I do this with contentment and self-control? We need the Lord's presence, and we need the Lord's perspective. I've got to see it the Lord's way. The Bible says this in Revelation 16, 10 and 11. Revelation 16, verse 10. And the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness. Please notice, his kingdom became full of darkness. That's a spiritual darkness. And the Bible says that those who followed this beast gnawed their tongues because of the pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and sores and did not repent of their deeds. May the Lord help us. Will you seek God's presence and his perspective to discern and avoid end time darkness and deception? Because that darkness and deception is going to be very prevalent before Jesus returns. But thank God, light is greater than darkness. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. Let's close with this. Is he your light? And are you walking in the light of his presence and of his truth, his perspective? And maybe today God is leading you in a certain area to walk in a greater degree of his light, whatever that may be. I just want to take a moment right now, and would you just bow your heads with me? If we could just close our eyes, just focus on the Lord. And would you just ask him, Lord, how can I live this out? You are my light. I know you, but I want to be more aware of your presence. I want to walk in the light of your perspective and your truth. I need your perspective and how to live, how to relate, how to have victory. Whatever that is, would you just take a moment, and then I'd like to pray for you. We just ask him. And Father, I pray for each of us right now. Whatever that area may be, help us to live it out. Not just say it, I want to say it. I want to confess and believe. But you are my light, not just to say, but to live. Help us, Lord. Bring us into your presence. Lead us. I pray for a greater hunger for you and for your truth, your word, and your will, so that we can walk in the power of your Spirit. Help us to be bright, shining lights in this dark world in which we live. And Lord, we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we stand in prayer? Or just stand as we just continue to worship. If you feel like you need to just continue to pray and seek the Lord, that's fine.